Well, I don't know. It just simply baffles me. I was watching the channels in the hotel, right? You're flipping past the channels, and all of a sudden, the Real Housewives of whatever the heck comes on. And you're sitting here going, like, why the heck do these grown people put themselves in these situations where it's going to end badly? Like, they just keep putting themselves in these situations. And I'm like, man, I know it makes for good TV and they get paid off of that, but I'm just like, why as a grown person would you want to have to deal with all that drama?
Man, you sell your dignity, my man. It's all for that money. It's like, why not? I'll do something stupid on TV for money.
Well, they get together and they always go on these trips, and quote unquote, half of these people, they have businesses, but really they just sit around, and then they go on these trips together. And of course, then they're mad about the last big event that they were all at together. And I'm like, why don't you just not be friends with these people? Because they're always like, yeah, so-and-so said this to me at the art gallery, and now I'm mad. And then they want to play a game where it's like, oh yeah, we're going to play this game called Who's on Your Wagon? And we're going to say who you would throw off your wagon. So let's go around and say that. And they're just saying mean things about each other. I'm like, why did these grown people like act like middle schoolers? I don't get it.
I don't know. I'll tell you what, man. Why is Jersey Shore coming back? I was just like, why are we coming back with this? What, wasn't that like 15, 20 years ago now?
Yeah, it was. Well, anyways, I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast. Well, man, it's a great week. It's going great. We actually got to see each other for a little bit, man. Got to hang out down in the good old South Texas. Well, not South Texas. I guess it's Central. I don't know. Is it Central Texas or South Texas?
It's Central Texas. It's deep in the heart of Texas, if you ask people around here. I'll tell you that much. That's what they like to say, and I'm just like, okay. But yeah, man, it was nice. The weather was actually nice, which is rare around here this time of year. So, you know, count our blessings there.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Well, welcome to the Donut Box Podcast. We're so happy that all of you guys are here. Welcome. I hope you guys have had a great start to your April. Man, it's already April, and this year is like already flying by. Next thing you know, it's going to be July in like 3 months, and I'm like, man, 2024 has got somewhere to go. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and it's been going by way too fast, man. But you know, excited for some things happening in 2024. And you know what else is happening in 2024? A lot of things are being talked about in 2024. And you know, Chris and I, we've been kind of playing around with this free flow idea, where basically we don't have the normal structure that we have for the Donut Box Podcast. And this week we decided to do the same thing, except we decided to talk about where we're at in our careers and how we got there, you know, because each person has a story. You ask anybody about their career and how they got there, and man, it's some twists and turns. But you know what? As millennials, it's a little different. Like, even I talked to the generations before me, and their struggles were not the same as our struggles. And so I don't know. Figure it'd be kind of fun to talk about kind of the crazy journey it takes in the world of jobs, because everybody's pretty much got to have one, right? And I know we both had some crazy experiences.
It's true. Well, Micah has always wanted to be one thing ever since I've known him. So I'm going to let you just open up about your story. I'm going to let you go ahead and blaze that trail. Tell what you want to tell. I mean, I'll ask you some questions, but the spotlight is yours, my friend.
Yeah, man. All right. So we'll start. Like Chris said, when I was very, very young, actually at the age of 4, just about to turn 5, my father was in the military. And so we went over to Germany. We got stationed over there. And one of the biggest things that I remember about Germany is we would go to Frankfurt Airport. And now this was pre-9/11. And I don't know if you could do it now. Of course, I haven't been back to Germany since. But there used to be this observation deck where you would be able to, you know, see. And it was outdoors. So think about it. You can walk through the terminal next to all the gates with all the planes. Then you walk out there and there was a little playground for kids. But it was pretty much as glass paneled, and you can just see everything that's going on. And the big thing at the time was the double-decker 747s, right? Like, those were the big icons. I mean, they were double-decker planes. That's pretty crazy. And so, in fact, I've got a tattoo of that same plane on my arm because that was one of the first planes I remember seeing and made me fall in love with it. Because this observation deck was so close. You could see in the cockpit. You could see what the guys were doing, right? And what a big, mighty machine. And it's like these guys get to go and fly it every day, and that's their job. You know, they get paid to do that. That sounds fun as ever, right? And so that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do ever since a really young age. You know, and Chris and I even talked about it, you know, fast forward a few years, and we moved to Augusta where I've met Chris and everything like that. And one of my first birthday parties was at Daniel Field there in town, and it was flying planes, actually. I used to take flight lessons out there, and now it was a really different time back then. Flight lessons actually weren't very expensive back then. I remember it being about $75 a lesson, which I don't know. Would you consider, Chris, 2004, 2005, $75 every 2 weeks incredibly expensive?
I think it's comparable to what it would be now. I don't think it's super expensive for every 2 weeks. Definitely a lot to drop on some lessons, but I mean, you got to think, I don't know how much my parents paid for piano lessons, but to put your kid in anything, you know, it's going to cost you some money.
You know, nowadays, just to give you a ballpark figure, nowadays it's about $200 an hour to take a flight lesson. So it's quite a bit more, but I mean, of course, there was inflation and all that good jazz. But back in the day, it was $75 a lesson, and I would take lessons once every 2 weeks. And then at certain times of my life, it became, and actually, I only took lessons for about 8 months total. So it wasn't incredibly long, but it kind of scaled back to like once a month at some times, and then once every 2 weeks. It kind of just depended on where my parents' finances were, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this question. When did they ever tell you, okay, this is going to be the last flight lesson, or did it just stop? Or did they ever have a conversation with you about why no more flight lessons? Just kind of unpack all that.
Yeah, so why we stopped was actually, it was actually told because it wasn't doing very well in school. So I had really bad grades, and pretty much I was told that, you know, because you had bad grades, you're going to stop. Realistically, that's not what was going on. My family just was having financial issues at the time, and they just used that as a bargaining chip to try to get me to get better grades.
But they always use that, though. They always used, hey, you're not doing good in school, so we're going to take this away.
Yeah, it was always that sort of thing. It was the cable TV, right? And what's funny is now that I'm an adult, I see that that coincided with the football season. Right. So when football season was over every February, right after the Super Bowl, it's like, okay, cable's getting taken away, and it's because you have bad grades. Right. But you know what ended up happening? Fast forward a few years later, I get into middle school, and let's go back one more thing before we fast forward all the way to that point. So I stopped flying lessons, and I never resumed them as a child. So it was a stint of about 6 to 8 months. But in that 6 to 8 months, I did have that birthday party where a few kids came and Chris got to fly the plane while he was there too, which was a pretty crazy experience for kids. I'm, you know, I can only imagine that was pretty nuts.
Yeah. It was like a little Cessna plane.
It wasn't huge.
It was a little prop plane.
And I think, I mean, we took like 20-minute rides around town. And the only thing I really remember about those lessons, man, is I wasn't old enough to do anything, right? Like, that was the main problem was, okay, I knew how to fly, got the basics down, everything like that. But in order to take any sort of exam, in order to pass your private pilot certification, you have to be 16 or older. So I was 8 or 9. So it was like, okay, that's a great start, but we really can't do anything for another 8, 9 years, right? You know, 7, 8 years. And so what ended up happening there for a while was my flight instructor would be like, all right, what do you want to do today? And there was a little air park that was over in South Carolina because where we were at was really close to South Carolina. It was just right over the river. And so I would say it was really cool to me because it was a neighborhood that was surrounded, or that surrounded a runway, right? It's an airport community. So basically the whole neighborhood is centered around a little airport. And so, but they would allow you to come and fly in there as long as you would, you know, make your normal radio calls to them. And so it's like, man, let's go over to, I don't remember what it's called. It was like Twin Oaks or something like that. And it's like, let's go over there for the day. And so pretty much that's what we would do, is we would go over there, do touch and goes over there. I would be like, wow, these houses are big. And then we would go back, an hour flight lesson. An hour is nothing when you're flying, by the way, like, because of everything that you have to do, just landing and taking off. An hour is only like two or three landing and takeoff, even if you're in the pattern, right? Even if you're just going around in circles and just landing and taking off. So
you practice landing. Like, did you get it all to where you could land and take off all by yourself, or was, were they still helping you?
No, I got to where I was doing it by myself. It was to the point where, like, my instructor would bring a newspaper and be like, do whatever you want, pretty much. Like, I mean, it was down pat. Like, he would tell me all the time, you know, I wish you were of age, because you could totally take the test right now, the oral exam. And because I had been through the ground school and everything. And so it was, I don't know, man, I'll tell you this much, kids at that age, I remember him telling my folks really distinctly too. He was like, I love teaching kids this age, 8, 9 years old, because he's like, they're fearless. He's like, you tell them to crank it 40 degrees, they're going to crank it 40 degrees, you know? Adults, they're so timid with everything. Kids are not timid. And he would just pump me up all the time. In fact, that was one of the main problems I had right towards the end. I had like two lessons at the end. That first instructor got a job somewhere else. I had a couple of lessons towards the end where it was a new instructor, and he was not like that. Like, he was very rigid. He was very by the book. He wouldn't let me do whatever I wanted to do, pretty much. Like, it wasn't get there and, okay, what do you want to do today? It's like, okay, we need to practice our steep turns. And you remember, Chris, how you were talking about in the elementary school, you would get kind of bored with the lessons that happened? Same thing. It's like, bro, we did steep turns and figure eights and all this crap last week. Like, I don't want to do this again. And it's like, did I not do a good enough job? And he's like, oh no, you did great. I think we just, you know, need to keep practicing. And I'm just like, bro, this is so boring. Like, I want to do more. I want to do spins and stuff, right? Like, I want to do some, I want to do some crazy fun stuff. And, but you know, then it stopped. But anyways, fast forward, middle school wise, you know, I still wanted to, really, really big, like, crossed over from elementary to middle school. And, you know, a lot of things change. But I think middle school was the time that I started to, a lot of people wanted me to go to college, and I was talking about college in theory, and I really liked the idea, mainly for athletics. But I think middle school was the time where it's like, man, I don't know if I want to go to college. Like, I started seeing that there was a pathway that I didn't potentially have to go to college to be a pilot.
What was it about college that made you not want to go?
I don't know, man. It just didn't pique my interest. Like, it just, school has never been something that I thoroughly enjoy. Some people absolutely enjoy it, and that's fantastic. I think for me, a lot of the idea of school and a lot of the idea of tests and the way that they conduct, it's not really indicative. You can be very book smart and do great in school. You can be smart in other ways and do terrible in school. And the only benchmark that they have is, are you book smart or not? And the thing is, it's sure, you can know that knowledge, but I feel like for me, I'm way more of a hands-on learner. And so school was just not a very good thing. Like, science class was okay, but it's because there's more hands-on things. But what did I not like about that? You have to write reports and all this other crap with it. I mean, that's just life. You have to do some of those things, but I just didn't like the format, and I didn't like, I got way too many bad grades that I'm sitting here going, but I understand the material. Just because you made a test and you made, you know, math in particular, and you made it to the point where you were trying to trick kids, and it's like, well, if you knew the material, you would be able to see the trick in the trick question and things like that. But that's not the point. If it wasn't a trick, did I get the entire thing right? Well, yeah, Okay, so you're telling me I don't know what I'm talking about, even though you're the one that tried to trip me up with this. Like, I understand what they're trying to do. That stuff irks me. Do I understand the material or not? Not do I understand your tricks on top of the material.
But you have to also think, too, at middle school, you don't know what college is like. And so you probably were thinking, hey, college is just like high school. When in reality, it's not. So college is a lot different than high school. So you're probably going into it like, man, I hate high school. So I'm going to hate college too, which I'm not judging you. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just trying to kind of give our listeners perspective.
Right. No, absolutely. But I did know this. I did know in middle school and especially high school that my grades were going to start to matter. So middle school, not so much, right? But high school, once you cross over into high school, that's when everything matters. That's where your grade point average is kept. And, you know, you have 4 years to make colleges want you if that's the case. But not just that, I'm sitting here thinking if I don't go to college, I need to make sure my GPA is fantastic because, you know, would somebody hire even a flight instructor who has a very low high school GPA, who graduated high school, but then there's a college grad out there who has better grade, you know, especially as an initial job. That's the way you have to think about it. But, you know, careers and things changed so much. That's how we were conditioned to think. But then when we got to the job and, in the real world, it's actually not like that. But we'll talk about that in a bit. But that was when I kind of felt it shifting. And then high school wise, it was the same thing. They tried to push me into going to a Georgia high school or a Georgia college. And I was like, nah, man, I really don't want to do that. And I saw the pathway of, you know what, I can just do a flight school, get the hours that I need, and I can go fly. It's about the experience, not about the college.
Oh, high school guidance counselors hate that, boy. They hate
they do.
That because their whole job is to get you to go to college. Like, that is their whole job. They hate that.
That's the whole thing. And understandably so. Again, this is where our education system is flawed in the United States. Why is that? It's because the curriculum is focused on trying to get you to college. Because that's the numbers that they look at. They look at test scores and they look at how many kids are going to college from your school. And that's how funding is allocated. And so they want more kids to go to college because that means my high school is going to get more. And I can pump it up in the community because obviously you can charge people more taxes if your schools are great, right? So that's a whole nother podcast right there. But what I will say is, that's where a lot of contention came from between me and my parents. They wanted me to go to college really bad, and I did not want to. I did not want to. And so fast forward to graduating from high school. We moved out to Texas my senior year. So I spent my last senior year. And so at this point, we had just moved to Lubbock. And I had found a flight school. I graduated from high school, the only flight school in town. I go there and I take a lesson on my own dime. Because at this point I was working Boot Corral, right? And so I was making money as a salesman. And so I took a lesson on my own. My father got pissed. He got so mad. He's like, you know what? This is essentially your college. You need to be, you know, I need to pay for this. I need to pay for this. I waited for him to pay for it. It never came. It never happened at that point. He never went to pay for it. Fast forward a little bit. I get a lot of pressure because I'm still living in their house at this time. I keep taking lessons on the side.
And you're paying for all of it, right?
I was paying for it. I was also going to ground school all over again because you got to think, I did all this stuff when I was 8, 9 years old. That doesn't count anymore. Like there's a certain amount of time if you haven't flown in between. The FAA don't count that time. Like they'll count it as just like basic hours, but the complex different things that I did, like I did a solo at one point. They wouldn't let any of that happen. So it's like, okay, essentially I had to start from scratch for the most part. And so I'm going through this. And I remember the biggest fight that we had is I paid for ground school again, and ground school was $400, but it's an 8-week course.
Which is actually pretty cheap.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's an 8-week course. And it's very in-depth. Like, it's very in-depth. It is very cheap. You know, I pay the $400, and I remember he was just like, you know, if you just want to piss your life away, you can and whatever. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm going for what I want to do. Like, I thought this is what we've always talked about, because he was always pretty supportive about, you know, me flying and things like that. But he was upset that I wasn't going to college at the same time. And so to placate, because of course I'm living with him, I start going to South Plains.
I remember that. And you hated it. You hated it.
I could not stand South Plains College.
I
couldn't
home
stand
and
it.
You just were like, I don't know. I'd be like, how's classes? And you just seemed like you were in a bad mood and you were pissed about it. But I didn't know that background. So it makes sense now. Like, hearing you talk about it, why you were upset, because the fact that your paternal unit was on your case about it and saying that you were, you know, peeing your life away and all that good stuff, when in reality, you just weren't doing it his way, and that's what he was mad about.
Exactly. Well, and the other part about it, too, was he paying for South Plains? No, I paid that with Boot Corral money. I had to pay for that. Now, granted, South Plains was not that much. That's why it wasn't a big deal at the time. It was like $1,100 for the semester. It really wasn't that much money for college. So, and I was getting all my basics, right? And so I was like, well, I'll just get this degree and whatever. In fact, like, what he wanted me to do, he wanted me to go through South Plains, get my community college, what is that called? Associate's degree. There you go. He wanted me to get my associate's. Then he wanted me to go over to Tech for a year and then potentially apply for the Air Force Academy, because he heard that that's an easier way to get into it than going through high school wise. Because he always wanted me to go to the Air Force Academy, to go to the flight program through there. And I didn't want to go to the Air Force. That was a whole thing too. I did not want to go to the Air Force. The only reason that that was ever an entertainment is, you know, of course, if you go through the Air Force, yeah, you're set up for forever as a pilot. Like, you'd never not have a job. I mean, you're set up. But the thing is, I don't want to get shot at. I don't want to be in war zones. I don't want any of that. Like, I like leisure flying. That's what I like to do. I didn't want to be any a part of that. And, you know, I even had to take the ASFAB or whatever the Air Force one was. Like, I was pushed into doing that. And I would probably have to take it again, because I only scored high enough to be a navigator. So I wouldn't even have scored high enough to be a pilot. That was the other part about it. And so it was a whole big thing. Anyways, I start going to South Plains College. You know, I'm sitting here like, what am I doing with my life? You know, all this money, I could be out there with, you know, having hours, because I was working and going to college. So I didn't really have time to go fly. Like, at that point, I didn't have, and oh, by the way, I had a really toxic girlfriend too at the time.
Yeah, there was a lot of factors at that time that were just making everything bad. You know, you had a toxic girlfriend, your paternal unit was forcing you to do this, your best friend was kind of on the outs. I mean, it was just a bad time of life. So I can kind of see why you were a little frustrated.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. Anyways, fast forward, so we keep going, and I break up with that toxic ex. Chris and I were no longer friends for a little bit. And I meet my now wife. And at this point, I was just working Boot Corral. Was not taking flight lessons.
Was this Boot Corral the first time or Boot Corral the second
time? This is Boot Corral the second time. So I quit Boot Corral once. And then I came back. They begged me to come back. Like, they were like, we can sign paperwork right now. And I was working this other job. I ended up working two jobs for a while. And then Boot Corral was more money, so I just went back over there. But I met my wife at Boot Corral. And so I meet her, and she was only going to be there for a few months. So she goes back down to where I'm living right now. And, you know, at that time, what made me stop flying wasn't just that, but when I was dating that gal beforehand, I couldn't really fly then because all my money was tied up with her. So then what happens after we broke up, that flight school closed. Then there was no flight school in Lubbock, so there was nowhere to go fly. So the whole reason that I was too, like, when my wife came back here, I said, you know what? I'm going to go back with her because it's a major area. There's plenty of flight schools down there. That was part of the reason I came down here too. It was like, you know what? I'm going to go to flight school. So fast forward, my parental units come down to see these flight schools. And I'm skipping a whole part of my life, but this is because of time. Or do you think I should just make this whole podcast about this freaking story?
Just make it all about the story, man. We can do my part. We'll do my part, part two. We'll do that another episode. But just tell a full story.
I meet my wife and all that good jazz. When I met my wife, the plan was, and this was another conjured up plan, there was a school that was nearby my grandparents, my father's parents.
It was in Longview, Texas.
In Longview, Texas, right on the freaking border of Louisiana. It might as well be Louisiana.
Laterno Christian something.
A really small private Christian school. And, I mean, to the point where I took a tour, all this stuff, and my mother was saying, oh, yeah, this is where you're going to meet your future wife and blah, 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 like God told me. And I'm like, yeah, okay, we'll see about all that. And I didn't end up going there because we get all the way into it. Like I'm talking, we did parents' weekend and everything, and we get there. I get my ID card printed, and we get into the financial aid office, and they slap that piece of paper down. And you know how much it said on there for a semester, for the first semester?
$40,000.
No, $64,500. And I, you know, my father just about choked. I don't know why. I guess none of us looked at the tuition. I thought that we had an understanding, but you know what ended up happening? So I had like bought a kayak with my buddy like beforehand and like all this other stuff. My father told me you have to sell everything. Like if you're going to go here, you have to put skin in the game. So you have to sell everything. And that included my bed.
Let's just pause for a right second. Now, what Micah is leaving out is the fact that he was under the impression or had the thought that he had a college fund, right? His parental units told him that he had a college fund and they had been setting money aside for him. Well, they blew that college fund.
Yeah, apparently.
That's my little insert. That's why you had to sell everything, because they didn't have any money.
Yeah, didn't have that. And so it was like, in order for us to make this happen, like you're going to have to sell everything. And so that included my bed. Like I remember we had a whole yard sale, and you remember those adjustable beds that we had, Chris? Yeah. Both
the medical beds.
Yeah. They sold the pair of those for $1,000. And I remember at the yard sale, it was like, it was not nearly enough. Right. I mean, you're talking about 60 some odd $1,000, right? There's no way that you can raise that off of a freaking yard sale. And so, we kind of stalled. And so the university called and was like, yeah, we need that payment. And it was like, yeah, we're going to have to defer to the next semester. And I mean, they knew what that meant, bro. They knew what that meant. I remember they didn't even call us the next semester. They just withdrew me. Like they didn't even freaking call. And so that ended up happening. And so fast forward, meet my wife, right? And then it's like, okay, we're going to go down, at the time it was San Marcos, Texas, and there's a few flight schools in the area. I toured them. And what else is in San Marcos, Texas? Texas State University, right? And that's where my wife was going. So I was like, heck yeah, I'll just go to Texas State and I'll fly on the side. There was even a extension service, Texas State Aviation, to where you can go to Texas State and get your, and it was pretty affordable actually, since I was in state and it was a public university, right? The only thing was they didn't have any degrees that were tailored specifically for aviation. And that was the whole point of contention between me and my father with that deal was, I'm not going to pay for this because it's stupid, because you would have to get a business degree or something else. Because that was the whole thing. It was like, I'll get a business degree, or they have a great business school or a marketing degree or something universal. And here was my defense to that. The aviation industry, and I've been studying this since I was 5 years old because I've generally had a lot of access to the internet. it has its ebbs and flows. It always has. And when the getting's good, the getting's good. And when it's not, it's not. And the thing is, I've worked for airports. I've worked for airlines. I've worked as a fueler. I've done these things. And at that point in my life, I'm going, bro, I need a backup plan in life. If the economy tanks and all the airlines, you know, every pilot's going to be out on their keister. And it doesn't matter how good of a pilot you are, there's not enough to go around. And it's kind of what I was talking about before. You know, who gets the cream of the crop? It's the Air Force guys. It's the guys with a lot of experience, things like that, right? Those are the guys that get picked up. The rest of them, I mean, the big recession that happened at, 2008, there was guys that went from flying and had been flying for 20 years to working at McDonald's because they had no backup plan. So it's like I studied that and was like, I'm not going to be one of those guys. Like, I'm not going to be naive because my father's whole perspective was, well, if you're a good enough pilot, like, you'll always have a job. And it's like, yeah, I don't buy that for a second. You're at the industry's mercy. It's not anything that you can do. And so I remember sitting there and we had a whole heated discussion. My future wife was sitting there at the table too. And I had printed out all the different degree programs that I can do and do the aviation program where I can get my flying on the side and it's all one lump sum of money. And by the end of it, he told me the same thing. I'm not going to pay for you to piss your life away. It was the same thing. He told me, like, not going
to
do it.
So just so I'm clear, you were in favor of, you still wanted to go to Texas State, get your degree in something else.
Besides aviation.
While still doing aviation on the side. And you were like, hey, I might get my degree in, let's just use finance, for example. You're like, hey, I'm going to get a finance degree, but still do aviation. But I still want to go to school and stuff.
Pretty much. Yep. I was still going to placate that whole side because at this point, I'm still under the impression that they're going to pay for it. So it's like, sure, if that's the stipulation, sure, I'll go to college. I even found a better solution. Think about that. I found that solution. I found the solution where it's college and flying all in one for a cheap price in state. And the answer was still no, because it's not aviation specific as a degree.
Yeah. But what's crazy is, in reality, you didn't really know this until later on down the road, but they weren't going to pay for any of it. So, I mean,
they weren't going to pay for any of it. So here's what ended up happening. So fast forward some more time. And at this point, my parents, we had been, you know, up and down for a while. And I was already kind of considering, this was like 2016. And I was 23, 24, I think at the time, right? No, 20, 21, 22, something like that. And I was already starting to think about it, like, man, I don't know if I want to associate with them anymore because of some of the things that have been happening and, you know, some of these lies that have been happening. And what ended up happening from there, I get a call, and mind you, this was from their end. My father calls me and he says, I want to pay for your flight school. Like, I've got some extra money. I got some, you know, some means that we can do it. I want you to find the flight school. Like, we'll talk about it and we'll go with it. And he was just talking about the flight school, not college too. And I'm sitting here going, okay, well, you know, I'm still open to the college option, right? And it's like, no, just the flight school. And so I found a flight school. And he was like, and again, the whole answer was like, no, not going to do it. I hear from my family, he's telling everybody else, no, I'm not going to pay for his school. He needs to go through the school of hard knocks and he needs to know what it's like to go through it rough. But on the other end, he's telling me like, oh, I'm going to pay for it, find the school. And what would end up happening is he's just like, no, this school is sketchy. That's the whole thing that would happen. It's like, no, this school is just, this is not reputable. Like, it's not a reputable school. I can tell, like, it's just not reputable. And it's like, what's not reputable about it? And it's like, well, and then it became, there's no college associated to it. The ones you were showing me before, a college was associated with it. And it's like, I thought that's not what we wanted, though. I thought that's what you were saying we don't want. So I found this other flight school because he, listen, don't, you know him, don't show him something twice. I couldn't take him back to Texas State. That wouldn't have worked. So the deal is I had to find somewhere else. So I found another place. And I made up my mind, though. I said, this time, whether he pays for it or not, I need to do something with my life. I got to jump. I like this flight school. I'm going to start regardless. Like, I'll find the money. And same thing. He's like, oh, no, this is jank. This is stupid. And so I said, all right, fine. So I started the flight school. I scraped up the cash. The only problem was this school was geared towards getting you to be a commercial pilot. Like, that's the whole premise. And they required you to take at least 3 hours of flying a week, which was $700 a week. That's how much it was. So, and that's to do the bare minimum. If you fall below that, like, you, like, they kick you out of school pretty much. So I was having to pay $700 a week. Well, at the time, I had to take a night job because obviously I'm flying during the day. And when you're not flying, you're in a classroom. So I took a night job at Amazon, stocking shelves, and doing things like that for 12 hours overnight. And I think we've talked about that before. It was a terrible job. And I was doing that while I was flying, but I was spending $700 a week plus rent, everything else. Bro, it did not last long. I racked up a lot of debt, about $10,000 actually worth of debt in a very short amount of time. And so it was really, and I had to stop because something else that was bad too, the flight school, the instructor that I had, he was a former Marine and he was a dick. Like, he was not a nice guy at all. And so he was very much like, what are you, some kind of little girl? Like, all this other stuff. Like, he would talk to you like that while you're flying. And that is not the environment you want to be in, especially when you're flying a flying machine and you're learning how to do it. And also they just assumed that I knew what I was doing because I used to do it when I was like 8 or 9. But I'm into my 20s now, you know, like, it's different. You need to show me again. It was a bad situation. I was paying $700 a week for it. And so it didn't last long and I ended up getting out of it. Well, at my final hour, right? It's like I you know, talked to my folks and this time they were serious. And this time they were real serious about paying for flight school and everything. And so I was like, okay. And this time my father said, you know what? I even found a flight school for you. Like, check this place out. And guess what flight school it was? It was the flight school I was already going to. And he was like, yeah, I think this one's legit and everything. And I said, great. I've been going to that one for about 4 months now.
But you had showed him that one before, right?
I did. And he said that it was jank and stupid and like, and wasn't reputable and all that other good jazz. And so we ended up talking with two people because there was a college that was attached to it. I was just doing the flight program. I wasn't doing because I couldn't afford the college part. I could only afford the flying part. And so we were going to do both. So I had the college person on the line and I also had the head of the school on the line. Very nice guy, like very nice guy, very helpful. My father was an ass. Like, he embarrassed the crap out of me. Like, I don't think I've ever been more embarrassed in my entire life. He went through there and he basically told them that they weren't reputable and that they were con men and tell me how you're not con men. Like, tell me how you're not. And like, went through this whole freaking thing, man. And I had to go back. I had to go back and fly there. And guess who didn't pay? Yeah, they didn't end up paying, man. And so, again, because it wasn't reputable and all this other crap. But meanwhile, again, they're telling everybody.
So did you get stuck with the bill?
Oh, I got stuck with the bill. It took me a while. I had to pay that $10,000 worth of debt off, tell you that much. Pretty much what ended up happening after that is there was one other time. And the last time really, really hurt. I had kind of smoothed out, you know. I had gotten out of flight school. I had a couple jobs at the time. And I was managing my debt and I was, you know, just working. You know, sometimes you get into a point in life, man, and I know you've been there before, where you're just like, man, this is my time to grind, I guess. This is the time to work. This is the time to I don't know what that was supposed to be teaching me, but we'll figure it out and we'll get out of this debt. And so that was the main focus, was just work and get out of this debt. And so I got a call. And at this point, I had a friend who was working for my dad, and that'll come into the equation here in a minute. But my father calls again. He says, hey, so we want to try this flight school thing. Again, he said he came into some money. And, you know, it's like, and this time it was like $50,000-$60,000. And like, we can like pay for the whole thing. Right. And I was like, okay, well, maybe this is it. Right. Like, you know, they've never talked like this before. And then what ends up happening is, and that was the whole conversation. And it was to the previous flight school. They're like, you know what? Maybe we can talk to the previous flight school. I really like them, whatever. And then I get a call from this friend of mine who was working for the guy at the time. And what does he tell me? He goes, dude, your dad just bought a Porsche. Isn't that so awesome? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, dude, he bought a Porsche. Like, he bought a Porsche. Isn't that, like, he didn't tell you? And I was like, no, he didn't tell me. And this was the day after he told me about the flight school deal. And so I'm going, I knew, bro. I already knew. I was like, there went my flight school. That Porsche was my flight school. And sure enough, man, he was like, yeah, well, we just can't do that anymore. Like, we can't really afford to do that anymore.
From how quick that phone call where he said, hey, I'm going to pay for your flight school, to you find out that he has a Porsche. Cause I mean, just playing devil's advocate, maybe you're like, oh, maybe they can afford both. They got some money. And I don't know. Walk us through that.
Less than 24 hours. The fact that he didn't call me first, I know that guy. That guy would have been so excited. And especially, I'm a son. I'm his only son, by the way. And a lot of times what would happen if he's excited about anything, heck, when he kicked my mom out, he was excited about his new girlfriend calling me up too. So I'll tell you this much. He calls you when he's excited about stuff. The fact that that man didn't call me about that Porsche, but everybody else knew, that was my flight school. I already knew. I was like, he didn't even have to tell me. I already knew. You can feel it. You can feel it. And the moment I called him too, how awkward he was, I knew. It's like, he wasn't excited on the phone. He was awkward. He knew I knew.
So have we gotten to the part where you went to the shady flight school, or is that coming up?
Which shady flight school?
Well, isn't there one that you were like, you went to the flight school and then you just showed up one day and they weren't, that was basically like a ditch town thing, or am I making that up?
No. So that did happen. That didn't happen to me though. That happened to a bunch of other people.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
So what it does play into that. And I'll just break it down for those of you who don't know about taking flying lessons and things like that. It's not like, even if it's attached to a college, financing is very, very weird. When it comes to doing that, you have to basically pay for it out of pocket or with private loans, because used to the feds and FAFSA and all those folks where you can get student loans from, they used to fund flight schools too, until one day they had a school that basically did what Chris was talking about. They enrolled about 60 people and all of them had prepaid with student loans and things like that, or even grants and things. The school was fake. So they skipped town with millions of dollars of federal money. And after that, they're like, okay, well, it's too easy for those for flight schools to be a con school for us to send our money over there. So we're not going to fund them anymore. So now, basically, the only thing that you can do to fund flight school, which is expensive, is to get a private loan or a GI Bill. And so it's like, if you're in the military and you have the GI Bill, that's great. It'll pay for it. Same thing if, you know, but other than that, you basically have to get a private loan or have lots of money to be able to do it.
So then after all that, right, there was no more talk about paying for school, no more talk about any of that, right?
No, that didn't happen after that. There was no more talk. After the Porsche happened, there was no more talk about that. In fact, they bought a really, really big house. It was like a 6-bedroom. It was 3 stories. It was freaking massive. They went on a freaking spending spree after that. And so what ended up happening, though, is shortly thereafter, give it a few years, I stopped talking to him. I wish it was a little different, but at the same time, when people do that kind of stuff to you, I don't care who they are. I learned some things in life. These people can call you their parent, you know, say they're your parents, and, you know, I love and respect them. and whatnot as far as for who they were and for the things that they've done for me. But for the people they choose to be, I have zero respect for that. And the bottom line is, if you can't trust the person, if you have no trust for the person, you don't have a relationship. And how can you trust somebody? Like, that's what I just told you. This little tale is a small snippet of everything that's happened. Like, that's tip of the iceberg. That's not even in depth at all. There's so much more to it. But, you know, a lot of people would say you should stop talking to them for that, you know, for the fact that they pulled the rug out from me that many times. And I just want to reiterate one more thing about this story too. What I'm mad about with that whole situation and what I'm mad with them about with that whole situation is it's not about the fact that they didn't pay for my flight school. If they wanted me to go through Hard Knocks, that's fine, but that's not what they were telling me. That's not what they were telling me. If you tell me you're going to do something, I expect that, because I'm one that's very much on promises, and I will come through on mine, but I expect you to come through on yours.
Again, it's like you said, it's a whole tip of the iceberg type deal, and there's more stuff to get into, but I think the bottom line was you promised me these things and you didn't fall through, but yet if I would have followed through on my promises, you would have punished me. You would have just given me the riot act. You would have been horrible to me, because he was very big about you need to make sure you fulfill your commitments. Like, he preached that a lot, and a lot of what he preached was the opposite of what he did. And he would harp on you about certain things. But I think that's kind of maybe what you're trying to hit the nail on the head is like, hey, you preached all this of following through on your commitments, and you drilled that into my head. And then you failed on your commitments, and it's not just that one incident, but there's a whole bunch of incidents.
And, you know, a lot of what I'm talking about, it's I'm in a weird place, because have I forgiven them for all that stuff? Yes. But you know what? You can't forget a lot of this stuff. That's what a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't understand that if you just allow... it would be easier to forget if they're trying to change themselves or if they're trying to better themselves, but none of that's happening. None of that's happened at all. In fact, I never received an apology for any of this.
Well, there's a lot of things that they did that you haven't received an apology for.
What it comes down to, they're not sorry. So that's what it comes down to. And it's unfortunate, but at the same time, to finish this out, what's going on now, so where I'm at in my career now, I went into the IT field because, you know, sometimes in life it's not what you know, it's who you know, and I knew more people in the IT field when I first got into it at the time. Now my work ethic has made a name for myself in the industry a little bit, not like made a name for yourself like people know who you are or anything, but at least within my company, at least within my department, things like that. I could go a few different places and my options are open, if that makes sense.
I was about to say, and to end it on a happy note, you were doing Last Week in Aviation, where you have a whole show about the news and the current events and all that good stuff. So, what's all happening?
I believe that show is going to get us to the point where we can fly all the time and, you know, make my dream come true that way. Or it makes us so much money, I buy my own plane.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. See, I wanted to put a happy ending on it. There's a whole...
Oh, no, for
this
sure.
This is just one layer of the onion that we pull back. There's a lot of layers to this onion, but I wanted to end it on a happy note, for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. One other happy note is the whole reason for IT is so I can make the money to go back into aviation. My dream's not dead. I'm just taking a little detour. Sometimes you have to work. Sometimes you have to work and do things and toil that you know, on things you don't necessarily want to do in order to get to your dreams. And that's going to make that all the more sweeter when I'm flying. So it's coming. It's just, you know, sometimes you take a little bit of a detour to get there. And so stay tuned to the Donut Box Podcast. Give it a few years, and man, you'll hear me flying. I'll be hitting my dream.
Well, for sure. And we want you guys to go check that out on YouTube, Last Week in Aviation. That's the title of it, Last Week in Aviation. So you guys check those videos out. Find us at Trash Can Network. We're on all the socials. We're not on TikTok, and we're not on Twitter or X, because that just starts a whole bunch of fights, and we're trying to spread positivity.
No Elon and no China. No Elon and no China. For those of you who don't know, your data is being sold by everybody, but especially by TikTok, so you don't want to do that.
Well, I think it's been a great episode. Thanks for opening up and sharing that part of your life and sharing all the details and all that good stuff.
Yeah, apparently we need 2 hours for it, because I'm like, man, there's so much I just thought about. That was a very brief synopsis of that whole story.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, I think it's time to take this donut box out to the track.
All right, man. Well, I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And this has been the Donut Box Podcast.